With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. A choice for to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We're CarCast. I'm Adam Kroll. It's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea over there.
Hello.
This show is brought to you by Geico.com. Visit Geico. Zybar as well. CarCast brought to you by Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, and lower underhood temperatures. Heat, that is the enemy of horsepower, man. Zybar, ultra-thin, high-temperature coating reduces radiant heat by 90%. This stuff really is the real deal. Put Zybar on. Take heat off. Learn more at Zycoat.com. All right. So lots of car stuff always. Auctions coming up. You're getting ready to head to the auctions.
Yeah.
You're today, heading to right Scottsdale. Mama's there.
Yep.
How far is your mom's house physically from where the auctions are?
From Barrett Jackson, 10 minutes. They're kind of in the same neighborhood where they put the big tent out there. And then it's probably 20 minutes to, you know, to get to like Gooding and RM. And I won't have time. I don't normally do like the Bonhams and Russo. Russo moved years ago after their tents blew over and smashed all the cars.
Right.
Which is terrible. But I just, you know, you've got a couple days and I want to say like RM is like a Thursday, Friday auction and Gooding is Friday, Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And then Barrett Jackson in the middle. So I try to hit the preview days so we can see the cars before they all move. So
I got to check Bonham because it's always slides under the radar a little bit for me. And they have some pretty cool pieces there for sale. Speaking of auctions, and I'm curious what the protocol is here, but like they had Mecum at Kissimmee or whatever it is, Florida, and 200 million cars and 7 hours of coverage and all that thing. And the jewel in the crown of the auction was the Roadster GT40 Ford.
Yeah.
Now, as I read about the car, I realized, oh, that is the car, and I talked to you about it. But for you guys who are listening, Dean Jeffries was SoCal kind of legend automotive hot rod builder.
Yeah,
a lot of these guys all came out of SoCal. And, you know, George Barris did the Monkey Mobile and the Batmobile and all the mobiles.
Yeah, yeah.
Dean Jeffries may have done, I swear, in his parking lot, there was a movie, Max Pata, here's a poster for you to look up, called The Big Bus. And it was literally a movie about a giant luxury bus.
I'd watch that.
that was like going, it was like,
sounds like a short film.
It was like a comedy with a whole like all-star cast of comedians, and it's this giant bus, and it's like super bus, and it's called The Big Bus. At last, the first disaster movie where everybody dies, then parentheses, laughing.
You gotta say that on the poster, like, you gotta tell them it's a comedy.
It's like a big jet-powered bus. It's all that stupid thing where they do back in the 70s, like, they just show a bus start going, like they do it like Death Race or something. You take, like, a VW Bug, you put a bunch of plywood fins on it, and then when it takes off, you put a jet sound behind it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but not really.
Right.
Right.
And then the rest of the movie's just in a on a little sound stage kind of deal, and that's
big,
it.
Big bus nice. Must have been 77 or something. And
76, yeah.
Yeah.
Who was in this movie, The Big Bus?
Joseph Bologna?
Bologna.
Bologna.
He was a...
Stalker Channing.
He was a... Joseph Bologna was a big star, like a comedic star back then.
Yeah.
Stalker Channing. John Beck, I don't know who that
Ned
is,
Ned right? Beatty, squeal like a pig.
Jose Farrar, Ruth Gordon. She was like this sassy, foul-mouthed old lady all the time.
Larry Hagman.
J.R.
J.R.
Sally Kellerman.
Yeah.
Lynn Redgrave. Richard B. Shaw. I don't know who that is, Stuart. Anyway. It was a movie. Now, Dean Jeffries. Find out what Dean Jeffries' sort of claim to fame was, Max Zapata, please. Dean Jeffries had a place right on top of Cahuenga. So if you're from this area, you drive along Ventura Boulevard.
Yeah.
You head toward Hollywood. You head toward, eventually, Ventura Boulevard turns into Cahuenga, and you're going through the Cahuenga Pass. And that's where Hollywood Bowl's on your right. Jimmy Kimmel Live will be there as soon as you mm-hmm. get down to Hollywood. Walk of Fame. But there's not much. There's a fire station there. And then at the top of the hill, there's something like a shop, like a warehouse, a little 3,000-footer, like dug out with a parking lot, okay. and a big iron fence in front of it. That was Dean Jeffries' shop. And rumor always had it that, he has a GT40 over there.
Yeah.
Like it sat outside and all that kind of stuff. And
like the car to draw people in, or just kind of sitting, kind of rotting away?
No, he didn't want...
He didn't have like a showroom. He was just kind of a gate.
I don't know what his... I don't know if he built cars for celebrities.
He did. Yeah, he just did a lot of custom fabrication in the 60s, like the Manta Ray from Steve Allen's The Tonight Show, the Black Beauty from The Green Hornet, the Monkey Mobile... the Moon Buggy from Diamonds Are Forever, James Bond. The Trolley from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And then he was asked, he initially did the design and initial fabrication for the Batmobile, but the studio wanted the car sooner, so he turned it over to George Barris.
So their shops were literally a mile and a third away from each other. Like Barris's shop was in North Hollywood, just go
yeah.
over the, literally just go up the Cahuenga, turn on Barham, end up in Toluca Lake and turn left, and you're like there. Mm-hmm. So it's like right in the neighborhood. I thought that Barris did the Monkey Mobile, but maybe there's some collaboration or something. Maybe I'm getting that one right. Maybe I'm thinking of the Munsters. Maybe I'm thinking of the Munsters. So he did the same thing.
Same stuff, yeah.
Same stuff on a slightly...
And obviously they knew each other and probably referred some work and did some swapping.
Slightly less...
Hey, you got a black and white TV I could borrow? I need to put it in a car.
With shag carpet around it.
Yeah, Monkey Mobile was Dean Jeffries.
So he did the Monkey Mobile, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, the Munster coach was George Barris. You're right.
Yeah. They're very reminiscent of one another.
Dean Jeffries also a very decorated stuntman as well. He's in the Blues Brothers, The Rookie, The Fugitive, Die Hard with a Vengeance, doing stunts.
He's an interesting cat, and I think he was kind of secretive because he had this GT40. They made five Roadsters. The Roadsters were more like Targas.
Yeah, they're more like a Targa. If you're trying to picture
it. Than a spider. And they made five of these Roadsters. One of them raced Le Mans, I think, in 65. He ended up with that car. He ended up putting a four-cam Ford Indy motor in it.
Yeah.
Probably like a V8 Offie kind of looking thing, I'm guessing. He put it in there, and he just always had it. And I don't think he was interested in selling it. I'm sure along the way, people sort of... made offers and he just never sold it. And I'm guessing he just passed away a few years ago and it became up for sale or somebody bought it. But anyway,
you mentioned that Indy motor. And I think of that, a few years back, Steve Strope brought a Mustang over and I think he had the, like one of the V8 Indy Ford engines in it.
Sounds very familiar.
Like a very spread out, like intake, you know,
mm-hmm.
with, with the stacks on them. And
Great. I mean, the great...
Cool engine. Like, they built the whole theme around... Did, like, a martini livery white, like, 65 or 66 Mustangs.
That's very familiar to me. And yes, the power plant... Look, the whole thing is... I get it. V8s work with push rods, but somehow the stamped steel valve covers and the non-overhead cams and the four barrel in the middle, it's just nowhere near as cool as the big aluminum valve covers that are finned with the four cams and the whole intake and the trumpets and everything. It's just great. And if you can get to an aluminum block, then it's really great. Anyway, so that car was at Kissimmee.
Second in class at the 2016 Concours d'Elegance.
It ran, thank you. It ran at Le Mans in 65, I think had gear problems and did not finish. I don't know how many laps it completed. As we drill down on Le Mans, everything out of Le Mans is getting super expensive. And everything that won Le Mans or won its class is getting super expensive. Now just entering Le Mans puts a whole bunch of zeros behind your car. And certainly winning, completing, top 10, whatever. I think this thing had a very unsuccessful Le Mans campaign in 65. I don't know how many hours it ran. I don't know when it was out. But anyway, maybe Max Spad will find that out. So...
Yeah, it didn't produce expected results. The first two cars of the GT prototype program were destroyed in crashes. So,
and this one didn't finish the race, I do believe. I would be curious. You can find out.
Yeah, I'm trying to look. I don't think they'd post. Would they post that on the Mecum site if they're trying to sell
it? No, if you go to Wiki, I think, and you go to 1965 Le Mans, you can see the finishing order. And as you go all the way down to the bottom, you'll get to the did not finish ones. And you'll see to the right how many laps they completed.
Yeah, each year at Le Mans has like its own wiki page. So you'd go to 1965 Le Mans page, and I think you should be able to see it.
The reason I look this up is because every once in a while, when I'm sitting at home, and the quiet hush falls over the house, except for the sound of super lazy people playing Fortnite, I have myself a glass of scotch, and I go to Wiki, and I go, I want to see what my 935 did. And my 935 did Le Mans four times. It did 299 laps twice, which is...
Interesting.
Interesting that...
Weird coincidence.
It landed on a weird weird number of 299.
Yeah.
Two out of the four times, it did the exact number of laps. Now, it's a 24-hour race. There's rains. There's cautions. There's crashes. There's everything else in the pits. Yeah. The notion that it just completed two of them were the exact same number. One of them was like 336 or something like that. And the other was like 133 or something in that nature, giving it a grand total of over 1,000 laps at Le Mans, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, impressive.
It also, it didn't complete it one year when it was in the livery, the Apple livery, but I liked the notion that it did about 130-something laps, which is, according to my calculations with my 299, and my 130-something laps completed, it meant it was in it for, 10 hours or over 8 hours. Like it gave it a run.
Yeah.
It wasn't a few laps and hub broke or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It did 11 laps at Le Mans. So as we talk about
the GT40?
Yes.
11.
Sorry, as Max Pata found that out.
Oh.
Is that a wiki thing?
Yeah, double digits.
Yeah, it's a wiki thing.
Okay, so I don't know about...
I mean, what are you going to do? Like,
I'm not judging.
I feel like I'm trying to make the guy feel better already. It's 1965. No, I'm like, it's all right, buddy. 11 laps. Shit happens. It's all right. Hey, look, it would have been more expensive to do 299 and then call it quits.
That was 65. What would the winners do? Would they do like 270? Like, people were hauling ass, but not as fast as 1981.
Yeah, well, the ones that finished in the first place was the Ferrari North American Racing Team. 348 laps.
Wow.
Wow, yeah. He was scooting along, huh?
That scooting. That must have been, so that was probably a no rain situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Makes like, that 11 sounds stupid.
Yeah, okay.
Now that guy sucks.
I'm not trying to beat up anybody. No, so what I'm saying is you have this car.
Yeah.
It's got an interesting story. It's a Ford GT. It went to Le Mans, which is a good
cool.
thing.
Yeah, it's great.
But that's literally all it did at Le Mans, mm-hmm. was go to Le Mans and start in Le Mans. And for the sake of going to Le Mans and starting at Le Mans, you could take a number, which was what's a Ford GT cost? I don't know, $2 million, $3 million, whatever. And you could essentially triple it or quadruple it, but it's not $20 million.
Right.
If that car.
So you're talking about the Le Mans factor. When it comes
I want
to
you
value.
To write down a number of what that car would be worth if it won Le Mans. I'm going to give you a second. First place at Le Mans, second place at Le Mans, third place at Le Mans.
Okay.
Top 10 at Le Mans. Write it down. I'm going to give you some time. And I'm going to tell you whether you're right or not.
Sweet.
By how I feel inside.
So you want first, second, and third place, Le Mans?
I went first, second, third, and then completed Le Mans. I want those numbers. Just finished. Made it through. And you know what the car hammered for. Now, so we're trying to sit around and figure out, well, what is that car worth? It's the only roadster to show up at Le Mans, but it did 11 laps, which
Wait,
is...
You're saying first, second, and completed.
Okay. First, second, third, oh. and completed. Come on, you're Civil Air Patrol. You gotta listen. Let me tell you about Zycoat, right, Max Spana? Many engines, like my BRE Datsun 2000, man. They take a lot of hot components, manifold and exhaust, and put them right under, next to each other, close to the air intakes, plug wires, carburetors, brake, power steering lines, heat, not good for speed, mm-hmm. people. Before, your only option were wraps and tapes and ceramics. Now, there is Zybar. The DIY high-temp coating reduces radiant heat by 90%. This is not a joke, people. This is real stuff. And we're talking to the guy from Zycoat about this product. I was like, yeah, but how come you don't just put it in a rattle can? Like, why don't you just put it in a can so you could spray it on like other stuff? And he's like, whatever the propellant is in the can is going to corrupt the chemistry of what
yeah,
we're doing.
Yeah, doesn't work.
And I was like, wow, you care. Resin-based polymer formula withstands temperatures in excess of engine environment and costs one-third of ceramic coating. Plus, you can DIY it yourself. The worst about the ceramic coating is that thing where you like send stuff out and you go, hey, man, when am I going to get my headers back? And I what day is it? And you go, it's Wednesday. I go, 2 weeks. And then you hit them up in 2 weeks and they go, who are you? And you go, my headers. Where are they? And they go, what day is it? You go, it's Wednesday. They go, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And you go, hey, wait a minute. You said that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
all right.
We're doing them now. And they hang up. They're like, somebody find his headers.
We're doing them now. What's your name again? Yeah, you don't have to wait on all these guys.
Yeah.
And they hold you hostage.
Yeah.
Because they know you're not going to go, oh, yeah, I'll have my wife do the ceramic coating on these headers in the garage. I'll show you.
Yeah.
No. Single application of Zybar to your manifold, exhaust system, or headers. Oh, they're there. Controls heat, resulting in higher horsepower and torque. CarCast listeners receive 15% off. They have 15% discount, free shipping, all your online orders. Just enter promo code CarCast when you get the purchase. I think they have four standard colors. Zycoat.com. And I think they'll even do custom colors for you.
Yep.
Anyway, I will tell the audience that the car hammered for $10 million, which means, and I don't know the vig on every auction, but it means somebody would have paid presumably $11 million or more, but say 10%.
Yeah.
So somebody was willing to pay $11 million for that car. The person that was selling it thought it was worth more. I feel like you're both right. One is, look, we got the information out far and wide.
Yeah.
Everyone knows it's for sale, and $11 million is what the amount is as of today. Now, there's no doubt that you sell that car for $10 million or $11 million, and there's no doubt that 9 years from now, it sells again for 17.7, like, and you go, shit, but that's the business. You could say that about houses or real estate and land in Nevada. Like, it's all starts off like this, and then it gets to that. Dean Jeffries bought that car for $4,000 or something. Sure. So what do you want to, what are we to do? All right. Give me your prices.
Yeah. All right. Knowing the $10 million, if it completed Le Mans, no podium, $13 million. Third place, $16 million. Second place, $19 million. First place, or let's call it a class win, $25 million.
Yeah, I'm gonna say higher than 25 because the first Le Mans, I believe I was watching Wayne Carini's show, and he was at the, I think he was at Pebble Beach, and they were doing the thing where they do the run from Pebble Beach up to the track. And it's always funny. Like, they cover the track, they get the guy in the Duesenberg, his buddy Bert, like with the scarf on, like driving around the track at 27 miles an hour, going, whoa, here we go, through the corkscrews. I was like, I always watch that, and I go,
it's fast if your wheels are wood.
Yeah, I'm like, that's fine. That guy almost had to take his hat off. It was so fast. But it's like,
put out a cigarette?
Almost this close to setting down his tab. But there's also a race that takes place that weekend, and one could explore that a little bit.
You might want to check that out.
Or we could just get in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and go through the corkscrew at 4 miles an hour and go, whoa!
Yeah.
And I like it. So I was like, imagine driving a race car through here. I was like, yeah. Why don't you do that?
We don't have to imagine it. It's going to happen all weekend.
It's
going to
happen times 550 cars.
Why don't you show that a little
bit?
Put
a GoPro on the fucking hood of one of them and feed it back to us. Nope. Can't be done.
Just imagine.
Just imagine. So on that Maxipata, hard to find stuff sometimes, but on that episode, they had the guy who owned the black, and I guess there's another question. He had the black GT40 that McLaren, I guess, won Le Mans when I think it was like the first Ford to win Le Mans would have been a GT40, a black GT40 I think McLaren drove. I think Chris can look it up. And he had that car. And now, remember, he was supposed to come in second or third or something, but then Phil Hill got screwed out of the win. And I think that car ended up winning. But who's the guy I'm trying to think of who got?
Yeah. I just saw it because I just saw the picture of Christian Bale in the movie.
Right. So we'll get to that in a second. But that guy said something like, this car was valued at $20 million, and that was like 4 years ago or something. Like,
yeah.
If you were the first Ford to win Le Mans, and you're a GT40, and you're a roadster, I think that thing would be worth $40 to $50 million, the way Le Mans stuff is going. Now, keep in mind, the Aston Martin that never won Ken Miles, that never won Le Mans and ran at Le Mans, but it was very exact, just sold for $22 million.
Yeah.
That didn't come in the top 10. I don't think that car finished Le Mans or whatever.
What did the third place GT40 go for?
The
gold one we saw.
That went for 10, right at 10, 9, 8, 7, 6 or something.
No, okay, like, right. So, but that also plays into the argument of you know, so-and-so at Mecum is selling the Roadster that did 11 laps and that seller was bummed at $10 million. He's like, fine, I'm just keeping it. I didn't want to sell it anyway. Like, I don't know if it was Dana Mecum, but it was clearly on the microphone saying that. I was like, yeah, but the third place one that's super famous and photographed everywhere went for a hair under $10 million. So, like, where do you think your car is? I think that's a pretty fair benchmark for whoever's selling the Roadster.
Right. I agree.
Like, now it's kind of sounding a little bit like maybe you should have taken the $10 million. You know, with the vague $11 million, right?
I agree.
Maybe should have.
Yeah. The next one was Mark IV, bigger body work, you know, more modern, mm-hmm. everything, and probably a little less desirable, but completed the race, came in third place. Pretty iconic car.
Yeah.
And I think the guy who spent nine or whatever it was, mm-hmm. $10 million for that car, even though it sounds insane, made a pretty good purchase.
I think it's
got a pretty good price.
Yeah, I think so.
The car will be 15 in 10 years, and you've done just fine for yourself.
Look, we talked about the Toyota Supra that sold on Bring a Trailer for $121,000.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going batshit crazy over it on social media. I believe a dealer bought it, and they put it in their showroom for $500,000. They just paid $121,000, and then they just put it in their room. They're like, anybody want it? $500,000.
It's a Supra that's super low. What's unique about it?
It's nothing. It's a regular Supra turbo. I mean, it's nice. It's red. It's, you know, it's...
Right.
It's just where it's going.
It's where it's going.
And but that's what he saw. He saw he paid a world record of $121,000, and he thinks it's worth $500,000.
What do you think of the new Supra?
It's interesting. I can't say that I've saw the pictures and said, I love it.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's going to come down to...
Gary saw the pictures and didn't love it.
Yeah. It's going to come down to, does it perform? You know, will it perform?
Yeah. We're looking at a picture of it now. It's pretty angular and a little bit slabby. It's got a good long front hood, which is good, but it's got kind of abrupt rear end, which is bad, which is sort of the problem with the Z3 or Z4 or whatever the hell it's doing with BMW, which is has a kind of quick, bad, short end. Now we're looking at another picture of it, which is not the same car. And it looks a little better from behind. It definitely benefits from having a spoiler or a ducktail in the back of it. And it could be the kind of thing where if you got up on it and looked at it, you'd like it. The performance, it's got a 3-liter inline turbo 6, which is nice. I'm old fashioned. I didn't like the Ford GT. This is a lot of Ford GT talk.
The supercharged.
I didn't like when they put the supercharged engine back there. Like, I'm like, there, first off, nothing doesn't say Le Mans like a supercharger, you know, like it's a lot of turbo and a lot of naturally aspirated. I would have loved a really tweaked naturally aspirated engine there with some cool intake or whatever. And they just kind of put a big supercharger on there and like, all right. And then I sort of felt like anyone with a Mustang can do this.
Well, yeah, it's got a lot of GT500. You know, resemblance, like a modern day GT500, and it felt a little bit like they're just putting that engine into a supercar. Yeah. And that's always kind of the weird thing.
So they went with a 3-liter.
Yes, the BMW
turbo,
engine and 335. It is turbo, you know, and you know, people hop up BMWs all the time, and the fact that it's still a turbo is interesting because there's certainly a lot you can do with it. You know, they got
quick.
It's quick. It's going to have a 50-50 weight ratio. Everything's going the way of no manual transmission. Everything's going to be paddle shift these days. New Mustang, new Supra.
Can I say this, though? The BMW you have that used to be mine,
mm-hmm.
we call it either the pussy wagon or sloppy seconds. I think sloppy seconds is better. Is that thing a 3.2?
Yeah.
It's a naturally aspirated 3.2 with 333 horsepower.
Yeah.
In 20 years or in almost 20 years? What year is yours?
2001.
All right. In almost 20 years, I mean 2020.
Yeah.
2001. You guys have gone from a 3-liter, sorry, from a 3.2 to a 3-liter, and you've upped the horse, you've added a whole 2 horsepower onto your game.
Yeah.
I don't know. So what's that?
And it's interesting because that's you're talking about naturally aspirated versus turbo. You know, you put the supercharger on the 3.2 that I have now, and now you're at 450 real horsepower. You're 500 something horsepower.
So you guys have added one ninth of a percent of horsepower like every year for the last 20 years. Like, I don't know. I feel like your car bone stock is 333.
Yeah.
And now it's 20 years later and we're at 335.
Yeah.
No, I get it. It's more fuel efficient and blah, 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 blah. But as an enthusiast, I don't know. Okay.
No, I'm feeling it.
It's quick. The GT40 Mark II was McLaren. That's a black one. Yeah. That's the one that first won to win Le Mans. I guess. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's one that was I found on one of their old Facebook posts. So
at some point, he does say something about the price of that car. I mean, that car's got to be $45 million or something, right?
I mean, it is one of the most famous Le Mans wins ever.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't it be arguably a world record for...
But controversial.
Yeah.
All right, and also they do the thing all the time where they go like, hey, this is the Ferrari GTO. They only made 34 of these, and that's why they're $50 million. But how many of those Mark II Ford GT40s are there out there? All right, tell us about Geico, would you please?
Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off dry cleaning, you pick up some milk, and now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. You don't have to pick up or drop off anything. If you just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you can be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Visit geico.com.
Well, the Ford in the performance department, the Ford Mustang Shelby GT500, man, this thing looks like a beast.
It's going to be pretty incredible, 5.2 liter 700 plus horsepower. Now it's got the new Eaton twin screw supercharger, which is a 2.65 liter. So if you do the math on that, the supercharger displacement, the amount of air going through that thing, is more than the 4-cylinder turbo EcoBoost Mustang. The Mustang has a 2.3 liter. The supercharger alone on this car is 2.65.
Well, I love that. I love the aluminum block and heads, by the way. And that thing, 700 plus horsepower, I mean, that thing's got to be quick. 7,500 red line. I will say this. I feel... Let me talk about me for a second. If you ever listen to a guy like Ben Shapiro, he's a very conservative guy, and he's Republican. But he will be the first to tell you what's wrong with Trump, the Republican Party, what's working, what's not working. Very vocal critic of anything that's not working or any stupid tweets Trump sends out or anyone in the Republican Party who needs to be ousted. And I go, okay, I can listen to that guy. I've never been a fan of the Mustang per se, not because I have something against Mustangs, but because I felt like they're making an inferior product. I didn't like all the push rods, I didn't like all the iron, I didn't like the antenna on the front fender, I didn't like plastic duct work that went nowhere, was blocked off, and double stick tape on the stuff. I got inside, I saw the interior, I saw the gauges, and I was like, what are we doing here, people? This isn't a good vehicle. And people go, hey, man, it's got a 5-liter or whatever it is. And I just like, it looks a little funky. It has a bunch of plastic on it. Obviously, you know, Mustang 2, Cobra 2. I mean, some of this stuff started to get into the sort of bizarre, literally got into a comical realm at a certain point in the 70s with the Mustangs. I would look at a Boss 302 and go, yeah, that's pretty cool. I get that. Or a big block Mustang and some of the other stuff, a 65 Shelby, 66 Shelby, whatever. I appreciated it, but it's still like a lot of leaf springs and live straight axles and iron this and iron that and drum brakes. And it's like a lot of that. And I just didn't care for it. I much preferred like a little hopped up Datsun 510 than that. But now that they've got their styling in order and they've gotten rid of a lot of the nonsense and they pulled off a lot of the stick-on plastic junk that just didn't do anything but add aero resistance.
We got functional aero now. We've got four cams. We've got, you know, direct injection. We've got all kinds of cool stuff going on.
Aluminum block, aluminum heads. You guys have all caught up to everybody and now passed them.
Mm-hmm.
And now, kudos to you, Mustang.
Yeah.
Your product performs well. It's always performed well. It looks good and it's technologically strong now, and it's a cool piece.
Yeah, this thing's pretty cool looking. The GT350 that came out a little while ago with the flat plane crank and all that, pretty cool, sounds great. And, you know, the GT500 now needs to be different from that. But, you know, people aren't really buying. There's certainly the marketing aspect of the, you know, drag race sort of specific car, other than something like a Demon, is kind of by the wayside a little bit. So now I know, like, you know, a GT500 with carbon fiber wheels and, you know, a paddle shift transmission shifts less than 100 milliseconds. And, you know, this is in a Mustang now.
The technology is great. And I drove around your Bullet a little bit. I really enjoyed it. I don't get the Demon thing. Like, I don't get the big, wide, heavy, straight line stuff. Like,
made the Red Eye, which is like the Demon engine, but now it's the corner carver. You know, it's
dodged it.
Yeah.
What is the Red Eye?
The Red Eye is it's basically a Demon, but with all four tires basically kind of squared up and the road race suspension, more of the street road race suspension. And, you know, it doesn't have the drag brakes. It doesn't have the drag racing, you know, suspension dial in. So that's it. Of course, Goldberg has one of those as well. He just got his. And, he absolutely loves it. And the rain that's happening right now is irritating the hell out of him because he can't really drive it in the rain. If the Demon is the straight line performer, the Red Eye is basically the Demon engine, but in the, you know, the corner carver version.
Well, we love it all. I love your tweets. People tweet me pictures of their car and my car and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. We always say hi and we love catching you up, and we love that you enjoy the show and share it with your car community friends. If you want to come out to Irvine this Thursday on the 24th, I'll be there doing basic cable commentary with David Zucker, Airplane. We're going to break down the film Airplane. And Foxwoods doing Adam Carolla's Unprepared. That is on the 8th, Foxwood, Connecticut, and then the 9th, Wilbur Theater in Boston. Following day, check out Road Hard at TubiTV.com. You can stream it for free. Matt, what do you got?
Well, as you're listening to this, I'm in Arizona, and if you swing by RM or Gooding or Barrett Jackson and come say hi, show me what you like, tell me what you're looking at. Are you buying anything? Tweet me, let me know.
So, until next time, and you can check out Shift and Steer and listen at Podcast One. And support the show, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at CarCast Show as well. So, until next time, Adam Kroll for Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea saying, mahalo. Oh, wait a minute. Keep the I've done too many shows there. Saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.